one of the lines of St. Peter's letter, taken from today's first reading, is this one: whoever preaches, let it be with the words of God. I think that's an encouragement to ponder the word. Let's start with the gospel. We are reading here from the 11th chapter of Mark's gospel. That is the chapter that starts, that's the Holy Week chapter. It starts anyway with the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. So in today's selection from Mark chapter 11, Jesus has entered Jerusalem with great fanfare. He goes to the temple area, he looks around, then he goes home, goes out to Bethany. The rest of the gospel has these two dramatic incidents. One is the cursing of the fig tree, then the second is the cleansing of the temple, and then after that, an instruction on praying with faith. Sometimes these dramatic actions of Jesus have been misunderstood. I've even read commentaries where people seem to think that Jesus was in a bad mood that day, and so he cursed a fig tree and he got mad at all the people in the temple. That's a very silly way of approaching the scriptures. He wasn't having a bad day, and he didn't simply take on the role of a rabble rouser, an activist who's trying to stir up the people. Some people think he was deliberately provoking a reaction from the chief priests and the scribes. I don't think that's so. What Jesus was doing was the will of the Father. He was fulfilling the will of the Father. And as we heard in yesterday's feast day of Jesus Christ, the eternal high priest, his whole mission was to give glory to the Father and to reconcile the human family to the Father. To sacrifice himself for the sheep. So here he's doing the work of the Father. He's preparing for the great work of redemption. And two problems have to be eliminated. One is hypocrisy, which is what is symbolized by the fig tree with all the leaves but no fruit. Hypocrisy, looking good without being good. Looking fruitful without being fruitful. Putting on the impression, or making the impression, that you're doing the will of God when you're not doing the will of God. That gets in the way of redemption, so eliminate that. It's not about fig trees. It's not about getting back at people who are not bearing fruit for you. It's what the scripture scholars call a parable in action. It's a lesson about not pretending to be something that we're not. So that has to be gotten out of the way. The second thing that has to be taken care of is the problem of sin in the temple. Again, symbolic of our own inner life. We're not ready to be reconciled with God if we are attached to sin. So the temple has to be purified. God can't reign in a den of thieves. He comes to reign in a house of prayer. Now, again, Jesus is doing a prophetic action here. Like all the prophets, called the people back to God, called the people to forsake sin and to repent and come back to God. That's what Jesus is doing here. Forsake your self-centeredness and your worldliness and your defiling of sacred things for profit. Get rid of all that. Make this house a house of prayer. Make your heart a place where God can reign. Good. That's right. Earlier this week, I was at one of the parishes. I was asked to hear some confessions. I was surprised that so many people came to confession. And I learned afterwards that there is some kind of a youth camp or a youth encounter this weekend. And so the organizers of the youth camp told the young people who were going to go, they said, go make a good confession before you come to the camp. Well, good. That's right. Cleanse the temple, because something great is going to happen. This is Holy Week. Remember, Jesus is saying, let's cleanse the temple so that you can be prepared for the great gift of redemption. Saint Peter, the author of today's first reading, the one who said if whoever preaches should do it with the words of God, he has some serious message for us as well. Again, it's about preparation for what is to come. It's about getting rid of what gets in the way of God so that we can be ready to receive the grace of God. This selection from the first letter of Peter starts out with a very serious admonition. Beloved, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and sober-minded so that you will be able to pray. The end of all things is at hand? Is he talking about the end of the world? I don't know what he was thinking when he wrote that. The world didn't end. In fact, we're still here 2,000 years later. But it's still right to say the end of all things is at hand because it's a reminder to us that we live in a temporary situation. If the world doesn't end before we die, then the end is our own death. And relative to the great span of history and of the unfolding of God's plan, our own life is quite short. And our end is near, even if we live 50 more years, or 100 more years. It's still near. And we don't know. That's certainly true. We had right on this block, two people died within the last month. Of course, they were both holy women who were enduring illnesses. But nevertheless, we didn't know when God was going to call them home. And we don't know when he'll call us home either. So in that sense, the end of all things is at hand. Be serious and sober-minded so that you will be able to pray. Now, what Peter does here is he reminds us that the way to prepare for the end is not to clench our fists and hunch down and protect ourselves from bad things to come. That's not the way to prepare for the end. That's nature's way, right? Defend ourselves, take care of ourselves, build up a big wall, and don't let anybody interfere with what we want to get done before the end. That's not God's way. And listen to what Peter says. Above all, let your love for one another be intense, because love covers a multitude of sins. So rather than treating the end with fear and with fierce self-preservation, treat the end as an opportunity to love more, to give more, to be self-emptying. That's God's way. Then you'll be prepared. So it's similar to the need to cleanse the temple, right? The merchants in the temple were all about themselves, not about God. They were about profit rather than gift. That's the way of nature, and that's what has to be fought against if we're going to be prepared for the end. We cannot spend our life serving ourselves. Oh, we can, but that's a dead end. Spend our life serving ourselves, then what happens? Then when we lose ourselves, we have nothing. The message of St. Peter and of Jesus is, no, make a gift of yourself. Love, let your love for one another be intense, because love covers a multitude of sins. We're all sinners, so in that sense, none of us is ready for the end, but we can choose to love, and love covers a multitude of sins, because love is God's way, not simply our natural way. Well, he continues with more advice, but I think we'll stop there. The attitude toward this temporal, this passing experience of life is not supposed to be focus on profit. The attitude should be love of God, love of neighbor, gift of ourselves to God, worship of God in the temple of our hearts. And intense love for one another, choosing always what's good for the other person, making a gift of ourselves for the good of the other person. That's holiness. And that's what it means to be prepared for what is to come.